We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Dang.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
Y'all are wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Ain't for everybody.
Angela Yee.
Happy Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. I'm so excited. I'm not going to lie. I love being in L.A. because it's not cold, but it's not warm. So it's like 60 degrees. It's just that refreshing feeling. Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. Broadcasting live from L.A. this week.
Just me.
Today, my wife and I are doing The Real. So we'll be on The Real talking about couples and relationships and our podcast and everything that we got coming up. So we're both excited about that.
I'll be tuning in. I also have my live show tonight. It's the day before Valentine's Day today. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be at Highline Ballroom with the ladies. And we're going to have a good time. Little Mo is coming with her husband.
Okay.
And Amara La Negra is coming from Love & Hip Hop. And then I have some special performances that are going to be happening. So I'm excited to do my live show. It's only the second time I've done it.
Yeah, I'm doing my live show next Monday. The 19th is sold out. So I'm going to do more live shows. People really enjoy it, and it's different than a club. It's different than just, it's different. People can come out, have a good time. It's date night. So I'm going to do more of those. People seem to like it, and I enjoy it. I enjoy touching the people.
Well, I'm not going to do more of it. It's a lot of work for me organizing everybody.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Well, Charlamagne, he's a little late. I'm sure last night he went to go see Black Panther, so he's in heaven right now. I'm sure he went to sleep in his costume, and he's trying to get out of that costume. He might wear his costume today. He might have little tights on today, so you never know.
Yeah, he did the whole Black Panther thing yesterday. I went to a Nets game.
Okay.
Yesterday. I didn't
stay
till the end.
Yeah,
I
don't
know.
You know,
I'm not going to lie. I didn't even stay till the end because I had to go somewhere else, but I did do that. And are you geared up for Valentine's Day? It's tomorrow.
You know, Valentine's Day, I'm excited about. I'm going to be out here in L.A., and I really don't know the restaurants or where to go, so I'm just trying to get people's opinions on where I should go in L.A. for Valentine's, where I should take the wife. So I really don't know. We have a bunch of meetings that day as well, so we'll do something. As long as we get it in the bedroom, I'm sure wife would be happy.
That sounds like every day. I don't know what's so special about that.
That's why she's so happy. I get it in every day.
Give her a break for once. All right.
No break.
All right. Well, we are getting ready for front page news. We are going to be talking about a new plan that the White House wants to implement and get rid of food stamps.
All right. And also, Damon John will be joining us, you know, from FUBU, from Shark Tank. So we'll kick it with him. He has a new book. We'll talk to him about everything, about finances, about making money. So we'll do that next. Keep it locked. It's Kendrick Lamar's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now let's talk about Amazon. What's going on with Amazon?
Well, Amazon is going to be laying off hundreds of employees. They're saying the majority of those layoffs are going to affect the headquarters in Seattle, but there may be some global teams that are affected as well. This doesn't mean that Amazon is not doing well, clearly, because they actually made $2 billion in profit in the last quarter from the holiday shopping season. That's the largest result in its history. And they're also building a second headquarters that's going to cost a minimum of $5 billion to construct and operate, and they're going to create as many as 50,000 jobs, according to Amazon. But what they are doing is getting ready to start their annual planning process. They're making a headcount adjustment across the company. So there will be reductions in different places and aggressive hiring in others. So it's just a restructuring.
I thought they do that every year, though. I thought Amazon hires, hundreds and thousands of people for the holidays, and then they lay them off in about February.
Well, that's temporary jobs, but these are long-term employees. There are certain departments that they're actually going to be affected. And they said a lot of those departments are more mature areas of their business, like its online retail operations.
They're about to replace all the humans with robots. That's all that's going down.
Well, no, they're still hiring. They actually right now have 3,900 open job listings and 12,000 positions open worldwide. So they are still hiring. It's not a headcount thing. It's just restructuring.
That's got to suck, though. If they fire you and then you go online and see that they got mad jobs available.
You better learn how to do something in a different department.
Yeah, it's not that we weren't hiring. We just didn't want you anymore.
And the new headquarters, like I said, as many as 50,000 jobs will be created from it.
That sucks. Now let's talk about the White House. What's going on with the White House?
Oh, well, now this is different. The White House has made a proposal to replace about half of Americans' monthly cash benefits that they get with a box of food. So people that get food stamps are going to be affected by this. They want to do a harvest box. So basically, in this box, it's going to have food for people who need assistance feeding themselves and their families. It's all homegrown by American farmers and producers. And they're saying in this food box will be things like shelf-stable milk. When was that good for you? Juice, grains, cereals, pasta, peanut butter, beans, canned meat. Mm-mm. What canned meat is good for you? Mm-mm. Poultry or fish and canned fruits and vegetables. Canned fruits and vegetables are nowhere near as good for you as fresh fruits and vegetables. So basically, they're saying that box will be valued at about half of the recipient's monthly benefits, and the remainder of their benefits would still be given to them on electronic benefit cards as before. But sounds like a mess. What if you have food allergies? What if there's certain things you don't eat because of your diet or because of religious purposes?
Man, don't nobody want no unseasoned chicken from that White House. Now, Barack then was still in the White House. You know the food would probably still be popping, okay? But don't nobody want no unseasoned chicken from that damn White House. Keep that box of unseasoned chicken.
And then they're saying there's other concerns, like how could families go and pick up the food? What if you don't have a car and you can't go and get that box? And
give me my EBT, please, and let me go get my goddamn crab legs and shrimp.
Right.
And lobster tails.
My goodness.
All right, so we'll keep you updated on that whole plan that they are trying to approve in the White House.
All right, and that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, you can hit us up right now. Maybe you went to see Black Panther last night.
Oh, I did see Black Panther last night. I saw Black Panther last night, man. I went to the Marvel screening of Black Panther last night, and then I got my own screening tonight. All I'm going to tell y'all to do is go see the movie.
Best movie you ever saw?
All I'm going to tell y'all is go see the movie. It's no need to put no expectations on it or set the bar all crazy. Just go see the movie. That's all.
Did you wear your costume?
I had my helmet on. I definitely had my helmet on last night. Which I thought more people would have been in costume last night because it was the Marvel premiere, but no, they weren't.
It was just you?
I mean, you know, you have people in their African garb, though. A lot of the Sheikis, okay? But they didn't have on, like, full-blown costumes. You know, I was a Black Panther for Halloween. But all I'm going to tell you to do is just go see the movie. I ain't going to tell you if it's good or not. I ain't going to tell you if it's bad. I'm just going to tell you go see it.
All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Call us up right now. Or if you feel blessed and you want to spread some positivity, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad
or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello. Good morning. Who's this?
Yo, Charlamagne, man. I'm disappointed in you, bro.
Why?
My man, you're a journalist. You're part of the media. Why did you take yourself from this Troy Avenue interview? We needed you on this interview yesterday, man.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we did. We need to hear your perspective since you know what's going on.
I don't know nothing, but you didn't.
You know what's going on. I think it's because you're on the side of the hater. That's why you didn't want to be a part of it.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not on the side of nobody, but, you know, if you remember.
You are, my man. I think everybody is coming down on Troy Ave, but everybody don't recognize how this whole thing stemmed and how it started. You know how it started.
How about everybody need to recognize the fact that Ronald McFadden Banger is dead? And if you know
that.
If
we understand that. I think that's a given. I was thinking of how it started. Everything started from Twitter and from bullying and from hating, and everybody's coming down this young man like he's just snitching out of nowhere, or he's just talking about it out of nowhere. Like he was minding his business, doing what he needed to do, and somebody came out and provoked him.
Well, all I'm going to say is this. If you remember that last interview, and you remember the energy that last interview created and the family being upset agitated.
The only thing with Troy that I don't like is that he tends not to be unapologetic. He tends to be unapologetic.
That's what I'm saying, and that's why I'm not entertaining that energy, because I don't want to agitate the family.
You're the media, my man. You're the media. You got to get that for the people to see.
Let me ask you a question. You don't think that certain media personalities choose not to do certain interviews for certain reasons?
Of course, obviously, but that you're the media. It's supposed to be unbiased. People look to you for information.
The best way to be unbiased is to remove yourself from the situation. If you already think I'm biased, right?
You copping out right now,
Charlie.
We'll just see how the trial plays out, sir. We'll definitely keep you updated.
All right. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is R. Squiggly from Virginia.
Hey, what's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Look, man, I'm going to be honest with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really like a heartwarming person. I really love this. I don't love this girl, but I've been talking to this girl for a month and a half. Everything was good. We talked every single day, FaceTime every single day, at least 5 times a day, right? Over the weekend, Saturday, she stops talking to me out of nowhere. Mm. And then comes to find out, I check her Snapchat. She's with her ex-boyfriend.
Damn it, man.
Now she's going on day 3, staying the night over her ex-boyfriend's house.
Wow.
And I confronted her yesterday and was like, yo, you know, because I FaceTimed her after I got off work. I work at a local sex shop. I got off work and I FaceTimed her and I was like, you know, what's up? And then she carried me. You know what I'm saying? She was acting like, she like, instead of just like, she, you know, we've been talking every single day. She made it seem like, oh, why am I calling her? And I said it, and she was with her ex-boyfriend. I said it in front of both of them. I was like, we talk every single day. Like, you just switched up on me.
Well, was that your girlfriend or just somebody you were dating?
Definitely not his girl.
Why do you care? Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. You get to save money.
Exactly.
You get to save money.
You're a little hurt, though. You're a little hurt because you did like her.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. I am her. I ain't going front.
Right. It's okay. It's okay to be hurt.
But you got
to
move on, bro.
Bro, you get to save money tomorrow. Why do you care?
I don't know if it's from, like, from being on Jerry Springer or something, but, like, it just went just downhill for me. You know,
you was on Jerry Springer?
If you look up Lost in the Smoke, I sung a song and broke up with a girl last year.
Oh, I'm going to be honest with you. You deserve everything that's coming your way. Do.
Today's Jerry Springer's birthday,
bro.
By the way. Today, Jerry Springer
you,
is 74 years old.
He called up here just to promote his goddamn Jerry Springer appearance. Like, we're going to go all the way back on YouTube from a few years ago with Black Panther coming out this week. Nobody got that kind of time.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Queen God, DJ Envy, this Fred from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's is tomorrow, sir. Fred.
He wants to make sure he gets through.
I'm calling you today. I ain't going to be able to get to you the rest of the week before y'all go on vacation. Happy Valentine's Day today.
Yes, you're the first one to tell me that, so thank you.
Thank you. I have a quick story and then a question real quick. A couple days ago, went by a co-worker's house to drink and smoke a little bit. I'm thinking, okay, let's see what this do. I get over there. She got her best friend over there, her niece and her brother who's in the community. I have no problem with that. Do you, boo, do you. So they over there smoking like we trying to qualify for the Olympics. I don't smoke that much.
Uh-oh.
So after about an hour into it, Uncle Charlotte, this is what you call a teachable moment. I can see and I can hear, but I can't move my body, brother.
Okay.
I'm thinking that the queen is slipping me something, and he's finna make me part of the community.
Wow. So what actually happened?
What happened next?
Well, what happened was they let me sit there and sweat it off for about an hour, and they took my drunk ass home.
Okay, what you think. That's what you remember.
You just couldn't handle it.
That's what I remember. That's what I remember, sir. And
gotcha.
My question is, I see last week I had two queens on there. My question is, maybe if it would enhance my time to get up there a little bit earlier if I come through the back door?
We had two queens up here. We only had one up here last week. That was Bobby Light.
No, and then how about the one guy, the activist? Wasn't he a queen?
Oh, David John.
David. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my man.
Okay.
Yep.
Y'all had two. So can I get up there faster if I come through the back door?
No, you got to have something to say. Bobby Light is on Love & Hip Hop Miami, and David is a HIV AIDS awareness advocate. Well, yes, not sir. Advocate, activist, whatever you call
I ain't
it.
I ain't nothing but a bum to go to work every day, sir.
We appreciate your everyday struggle.
As long as you know your place in the ecosystem.
Well, thank you, Fred. Hello, who's this?
Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer, get it off your chest.
I'm mad because I believe Sunday my wife gave me $50 and I lost it. It's here in the house and I have no idea where
Don't you
it.
Hate that? Retrace yes, your steps. Just try to remember where you were.
I was here in the bed. But I don't find it. But I find the $10 that she left pee on top, but nothing else.
Hmm.
The pee on top?
No. The $10 on top of the dresser.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you. That's the worst when you lose money. It feels good when you find it, but.
No, I'm sorry for you, mama. Can't help you. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Stan from St. Louis.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Man, I'm mad because I'm in the Army. And it's currently 20 degrees here in St. Louis, and I got to get up and go PP, you know, run in the cold and all that.
We appreciate you for protecting us, though, but that sucks, I'm sure.
Man, you just don't understand. I be shivering, and sometimes they'll be like, all right, strip it down to your shorts. I'm like, what?
Wow, I am not built like that. I respect you.
That just sounds freaky, bro. Somebody just want to see your shrinkage.
I mean, hey, that may be the case, man. It's a new Army, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but at that point, I'm just shivering. Don't even care who looking. I'll let her get this over with.
Hey, man, don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, boy. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up at any time. You, we got rumors on the way?
Yes. What is next for Mary J. Blige after she got an Oscar nomination in Mudbound? What is she doing next? We'll tell you what she has coming up. Also, Cardi B, what's she up to? Find out who she's going on tour with.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Mary J. Blige.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Man, I love to see Mary J. Blige out here winning. And she did get an Oscar nomination for her performance in Mudbound and won for Best Original Song as well.
Dropping the clues bombs for her in Mudbound.
Now she is joining the cast of Netflix's upcoming show, The Umbrella Academy. It's based on Jared Way of My Chemical Romance fame's comic book series. And it's following a dysfunctional family of superheroes as they reunite to uncover who killed their father. So she will be playing Cha-Cha, who time travels to kill her marks. So congratulations.
Well, just make sure when y'all put her in this time travel movie, y'all make her wardrobe match what time she's in. Because in Mudbound, she had on some ASOS glasses. And that was a period piece during the Jim Crow segregation era.
All right, now Bruno Mars has announced more 24-karat magic tour dates, and those tour dates are with Cardi B.
The final leg
is going to start September 7th in Denver, and it's going to end with a four-night stand at the Staples Center in L.A. The tour, those last few tickets, will go on sale Friday, February 16th at noon. So this Friday, you'll have a chance to go get some tickets to go see Bruno Mars with Cardi B supporting at LiveNation.com.
Does Bruno Mars take on some of the beef that Cardi may have on the West Coast now?
Hell no.
Well, so far, his tour has made more than 135 stops. That's crazy, and it sold more than 2 million tickets.
But is Bruno going to have problems with the Crips, though?
No, I'm sure he won't. All right, Kobe Bryant, he did an interview with Jemele Hill. She's joined the undefeated staff, as you know by now. And she asked about whether or not he would join in the anthem protest if he was still an active NBA player. Here is how Kobe responded.
I would have participated in it for sure. Sure, I would have gotten some flack for it, but that's fine. You know, I think what Colin's message was a very simple one. This police brutality needs to stop. I think we have the right for peaceful protest. From my point of view, I mean, that's what the flag represents as well. The ability to voice your opinion, and everybody's entitled to that.
I didn't really see any NBA players participating in that, though.
Right.
But a lot of NBA players do speak out and have always spoken out against the injustices, especially injustices that were happening at the hands of the police to unarmed black men. I mean, you know, the Brooklyn Nets were wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirts. LeBron has always been very vocal.
Yeah, LeBron has worn it. The Cavs have worn it before.
All right, now, since we're talking basketball, let's talk about LaVar Ball. As you know, he wants all three of his boys to play for the Lakers, and he has made that wish very public multiple times, but he just told Lithuanian media he has a strategy. Now, he says that Lonzo will leave the Lakers for another team via free agency if they don't sign his two younger brothers, LiAngelo and LaMelo. He said Lonzo will be on his third year, and I want to let every NBA team know that Lonzo is not going to re-sign with the Lakers, but will go to any team that will take all of my three boys.
I'm going to be honest with you. I got to hear LaVar Ball say that. I don't believe that he said that.
That sounds crazy.
I don't believe he said that. I read that headline this morning, and I don't hear no audio. I don't see no video. Yes. I don't trust Lithuanian news.
Okay, well, we'll see.
That don't even sound realistic.
He's not going to hold his tongue. He said, we don't have to go to any draft. Just sign him in a free agency. You don't have to give Jello $15 million. Give him $1 million for 3 years. We'll take it because they make so much money off the court. They lose spare change.
I can guarantee you something he said was taken totally out of context.
Yeah, he couldn't have said that.
That don't even sound remotely accurate at all. If the Lakers don't sign my other two sons, Lonzo's not going to re-sign it. That don't sound right.
Now, the rest of this article says, but what's better than three ball boys together? The big three, the original big three. So you think it's fake news?
Yes, I do. And I would like to record the show that I have my big baller slides. Drop one of the Clues Bombs for my big baller.
Oh, you finally got him.
They came a while ago. They came a few weeks ago, actually.
Took like eight months to a year?
It took a while.
But they updated you, like, on the status.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They absolutely did.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. We got front page news next.
Yes, we are going to be talking about the White House is trying to switch up how you get your food stamps. We'll tell you what it is.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, let's talk about your White House, Yee.
Yes. All right. Well, Trump's administration has a proposal now. They want to replace nearly half of Americans who get monthly cash benefits with a box of food.
No.
So that would affect households that get at least $90 a month in food stamps. It's called USDA America's Harvest Box. So basically, their plan is all of it is homegrown by American farmers and producers. And they're saying that it's going to be a nutritious box of food with items like, now tell me how nutritious this sounds. Shelf-stable milk, juice, grains, cereals, nope. Pasta, nope. Peanut butter, beans, canned meat, poultry or fish, and canned fruits and vegetables.
Don't nobody want them rations.
Yeah, come on.
Listen, White House, keep your unseasoned chicken and your quiche and your arugula. Okay, last thing I want is a meal from the devil's kitchen. Give me my EBT so I can go get my frozen shrimp.
Now, what if I'm
legs.
A vegetarian and I don't want any canned meat? What if I don't eat canned meat or canned poultry or canned fish?
If I'm a vegetarian, give me my EBT so I can go get Pop-Tarts.
What if I'm a vegan and I don't eat and I don't drink milk or anything like, pasta, certain things? Like, that just doesn't even make sense to me.
If the Obama White House was giving away food, that would be amazing. The candy yams, mac and cheese, honey glazed salmon. All right.
I still want to be able to eat what I want to eat. I don't want you to send me a box of food and say I'm forced to eat this.
Send me some Lunchables if you want to send me a box of food, okay?
All right, now let's talk about our favorite former president, Barack Obama, and former First Lady Michelle Obama. The National Portrait Gallery unveiled portraits of both of them. They actually selected acclaimed African-American artist to portray them, Kehinde Wiley, who, by the way, has a huge, beautiful painting in the Brooklyn Museum. As soon as you walk in, that's always the first thing that I see. So he picked him to do his portrait. And then Michelle Obama has Baltimore-based artist Amy Sherald, who painted her. Now, here is what former President Barack Obama had to say.
I want to thank you for so spectacularly capturing the grace and beauty and intelligence and charm and hotness of the woman that I love.
So cute. And here's what Michelle Obama had to say.
I'm also thinking about all of the young people, particularly girls and girls of color, who in years ahead will come to this place and they will see an image of someone who looks like them hanging on the wall of this great American institution. And when I think about those future generations, I think again, wow, what an incredible journey we are on together in this country. We have come so far. And yes, as we see today, we still have a lot more work to do.
Whenever I hear Barack speak about Michelle Obama, all I think is he better be on point on Valentine's Day.
I'm sure he is.
Can you imagine if he just gives little trash-ass gifts like a card?
I doubt it.
You know,
But how could he possibly go out, though? How could he possibly go out and shop without everybody on top of him, though?
Well, a lot of people shop online.
No, it's this thing called Secret Service, okay? All right? I don't think you're getting within 60, 100 feet of Barack Obama, okay? I'm sure they still shut stores down for Barack. Shut stores down. Yeah, those two. I'm sure you can get a beach clothes if you want to, okay?
But, yeah, I love it. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, Damon John from Shark Tank and Fubo, he'll be joining us. He has a new book, and we'll kick it with him. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Damon John.
Yes, what's happening?
New book, Rise and Grind.
Rise and Grind.
What is it about, man?
It's about getting up and being overproductive and out hustling the competition, you know, making it somewhere.
Right,
like how we do every morning.
Like how you do. I mean, listen, y'all are the kings and queens of getting people up and getting them amped and ready to rise and grind. So absolutely.
I see so many people that will like sit at home and watch television, and their show is on, and they all they do like they've seen every single television show. They're like, oh yeah, I saw that whole season. I saw that. I saw this, and I'm like, damn, when are you working?
I mean, that's the point, right? I'm getting, you know, as I take the book out there, I'm meeting so many amazing people, and I got so many amazing tips in there. But if you know what's going on and you've been watched the whole entire season of House of Cards or Game of Thrones, and you don't know what's going on in your life and in your kid's life, then you screwed up. You're not going to get anywhere. I don't even know what day it is today. And I won't know what day it is today. Some people have to remind me of what day it is.
Because you're busy hustling.
I'm so busy grinding. I got to go, oh, my God, it's Monday. Oh, Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever the case is. But if you binge watching, then you're already lost.
Because a lot of people complain, oh, I want to be doing this. I hate my job. I hate my life. But they're not productively, actively doing anything to change that.
Here's the best part about people complaining. First of all, you know, when you complain, 20% of the people don't care about your problems. And all the 80% are really, really happy you have them. Right? So the last thing you should be doing is complaining. Mm. I mean, because everybody else got their own problems, their own dreams and hopes. Like, why are you doing this?
You encourage all the readers to take control of their lives and their careers in a meaningful way. So how can this book, you know, help people gain more success within their careers?
Well, here's the problem. You know, here's the situation in the book. I have 15 people in there, everybody from myself, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Sue Santana, Gary V, my man, and then I got other people in there like Kyle Maynard. He climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with no arms, no legs, no prosthetics, right? And I asked them what were their first 90 minutes they do a day, because if you have a mentor, you're not seeing what they do the first 90 minutes of the day. You know, a lot of people in there, they have techniques like they will not answer any emails for the first hour of the day.
I definitely applied that to my life. I heard that from Will Smith a while ago, and I definitely applied that to
100%, because once you get up and you start opening your emails, you start taking care of everybody else's problems in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you're caught up in some system looking at everybody else's problems. So my buddy Chris Sacker will say his inbox is his defense, his outbox is his offense. They'll send out emails and they'll put things in motion such as that. So there are a lot of tips in there on how to be super, super productive throughout your day. Don't go on Instagram for the first hour, because you're going to get social media depression. Everybody else is sexier, happier, skinnier, richer, and they're not. They're just as screwed up as everybody else, but they're projecting all this perfection on you. So number one, you're taking care of everybody else's problems when you wake up, and number two, you're depressed at how everybody else is doing so well.
And you're letting everybody else set the tone for your day instead of setting the tone for the day yourself.
100%. And then listen, you know what else happens in the book? I realize it myself, and I learned from this. People don't schedule their family and or personal thing. They don't schedule time to call their mother or kiss their wife or go ahead and take their daughter to dinner. But what they'll do is they'll schedule when to be on the train, when to go to the office, when to be on a conference call, when they have to get to an 8:30 reservation. Before you know it, your kids are 24, 25, 30 years old. Your mom's is no longer around. And you realize that you work for everybody else.
Word.
What motivates you still?
You know, being the best father I can for my daughter, the fact that, you know, we're talking Black History Month, that, you know, 1989, I stood in that corner of the Coliseum Mall, and I made a couple of bucks, and now I can hopefully try to encourage people that they don't have to be able to sing, dance, or, you know, shoot a basketball. And if myself, that I can get to this point in my life, that anybody else can. So those things motivate me, you know.
Have you relaunched Google yet?
No, but we did do a great collaboration. We did a relaunch collaboration, 25 years anniversary. We have Fubu and Puma together, right? Charlamagne came over there and helped us launch it, and yes, with Foot Locker. So we have that out in stores now for Black History Month. So it's the 50th anniversary of the Puma Suede and the 25th anniversary of the us launching FUBU. So that's out in the stores right now.
Did you ever find it difficult to get black people to support black business?
No. You know what? You know, it is and it was really great. You know, when FUBU came out, you know, African Americans and people of all color really supported. They felt like it was something of theirs that they can cherish.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, be very honest, as we went on, you know, everybody was like, you know, don't sell, don't sell. So we never sold. That was a big rumor. But then it would be, you know, a certain demo who would say, oh, we ain't touching that no more. You know what I mean? But you know, it doesn't matter. You know, African Americans have supported us for a long period of time. And, you know, they made the word FUBU just for us by us become right. only for African Americans when it wasn't. It was for a culture of people who love hip-hop because back then when we started, I would address third base just as quick as I would address us. Or today, I would address Eminem. Just, it didn't matter. We weren't going to be prejudiced like, you know, the other companies were that made us create something saying, who's ever going to support the culture that is, you know, generated by African-Americans, the hip-hop culture, but is inclusive.
How does the company cater and target black people with appeal to everyone? Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's what I believe. I believe everybody in the world wants to be Americans and all Americans want to be black to some extent, right? Because
they want to be cool.
They want to be black and they want to be cool because we control the cool. So I think that, listen, you look at like things like rap and other products like that, it has influenced the entire world and other cultures and every aspect of cultures from the way people walk, talk, and dress. So I do think people can market purely to a certain demo and it goes everywhere because you can't market to everybody, you know, unless you're Apple, unless you're Samsung, some of these big companies. So you have to start off with a certain demo no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Is it true Russell Simmons called and suggested you edit his advice from the book?
Yeah, Russ was in the book, you know, first, and what happened, we sent out what we call the galleys, right? The books all to all the press and everybody, and they were reading, and Russell was in the book, and then he started going through these challenges, and he said, even as he was stepping down from all his companies because he didn't want to taint all the good work that was being done with what was going on in his life, he said, this book is about empowerment, and I don't want to get in the way because people are going to make it more about what's going on in my life about instead of what's going on in the 15 other people's lives here who you can learn from. So he said, you absolutely should edit me out of the book.
He told me the exact same thing. He said, when his name comes up, he said, don't defend him because he doesn't want to get in the way of the Me Too movement.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, he's going to have to deal with what's going on in his life, but he's definitely not trying to say to other people, yo, why you ain't do this? Why you ain't do that? He's like, that's my issue, my problem. I'm going to deal with it. I'm solve it one way or another.
Did you feel like you should have edited it?
Yeah, because, you know, listen, end of the day, what's going on with him, neither one of us are judge and jury, and that's going to have to be settled between him and whoever the case is. But I have no idea about any of the contributors in this book, what they went through personally in their life. I would have had to call all 15 other subjects and said, what happened in your life? I'm a man with three daughters, you know, and a great mother who raised me. I'm not sure what has gone on in some people's lives. And the readers, you don't want them to look at something and say, and be tainted by information. We don't even know what is true or not, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't want it to be gray, you know, a gray area.
All right, we got more with Damon John. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Damon John in the building. When doing Shark Tank, what do you look for when investing into a business?
The bottom line is I look for if I like the person, right? Because, you know, and I'm gonna share this with people who may not be investing in companies just yet. But if I like the product, I could buy one. I could buy two, right? I could buy 100, but why do I have to deal with the company, right? If I like the company and I don't like the person, well, listen, when I send my money over to Tesla or to Apple, they don't call me and ask how to put together a computer or a car. So I got to like the person. And that goes for every single person listening. If you're going for a job interview or you're going for an investment, it's going to be, do they like you personally? Mm. You can come out of college and give somebody a resume all they want, but if I'm going to sit next to you for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for the next 5 years, I want to know, can I deal with you? Do I like you? So everybody out there putting their headphones on at their office, not speaking to anybody, being unsocial. Well, when times go up and times go down, there's five people in your division. If nobody likes you, guess who's getting cut first when they got to go down to two and three people? That's what's going to happen. Or when times are going well and people want to raise people and they want to give them more opportunity, Who do you think they're going to go to first? They're going to go to somebody that everybody else likes in the division, and they know that they can solve problems. They're not problem creators. They're going to be able to create revenue and bring people together. The human factor, no matter what, is never going away. Mm-hmm. And now that houses and cars and everything else are getting smarter, the human factor is more important than anything else. So everybody else listening, thinking they got a great resume, your resume sucks if you can't do the job. Now, I'm not talking about a surgeon. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, they're going to have robots doing that, too.
They're going to have them, too.
Watch. But if somebody had an idea or they had a product that was doing really well and the profit margin was incredible, really low overhead, but you didn't really like them, even though it could be a huge, great, you still wouldn't do it?
I don't want to deal with them at all.
I'm with you, man. I don't like entertaining negative energy. Yeah. I just don't. What's the point?
Yeah. Well, why are we doing this, right?
Yeah. You got money. You got a position already. Why do you have to entertain this?
Listen, well, especially like you know, like great broadcasts like you. You get to this point in your life where you know how many times you're gonna have to now kiss frogs. You've already kissing a frogs coming up, right? Well, I gotta do this. At what point in my life do I gotta stop dealing with crap? And you know what I'm saying?
Man, so, you preaching to the choir, man.
Now, also with getting a loan, we get a lot of people call here all the time, and they want a loan, and they're trying to invest in their businesses. How did you get your first initial money to start Fubo? Was it a loan or was it friends? Because people always ask, how can I get a loan? My credit's bad. How can I get money? Yeah. How can I get people invested?
Good old Queens drug money.
Now, you know what? I started Fubo with $40, and you don't know what I had to do to earn that $40. But
$40?
$40.
What did you do for that $40, Damon? Is that
I stood
episode?
On the corner with a hat, man, and singing songs and dancing. I'm just joking. But I started with $40. People want a loan for what? The main reason that small companies go out of business and startups is overfunding. They go out and they borrow too much. They go and mortgage the house before they've sold anything. Mm. They go and build a $10,000 website instead of a $500 Facebook page. They go and buy a whole bunch of inventory of stuff that they don't know necessarily sells just yet. And then they turn around, they got 7 years of bad credit and nobody's talking to them. You know, Mark Zuckerberg started with one friend. I started with one hat. You got to start with just one. Or, you know what? You're going to borrow money from me. I'm going to give you $50,000, 50% of the company, right? All right, you get to $2 million, and now you got to raise another $500,000. Well, I'm not giving up my 50%. Who's going to give you the money then? All right, so then you get up another 40%. Now you work 10%. You might as well have been working back at Red Lobster because now you're working for the company, and you're not making any money. Mm. So stop asking for loans. Dig in your couch. You know, stop going to dinner 5 days a month, right? Sell your car and get a car 10 years old and take the train and the bus a couple of times. Before you know it, that money will compound and you'll either make the mistake small and that money will be gone and you'll be able to just start again.
Bounce back, right?
Bounce back from it, you know, but you can't borrow money. You can't do that.
I can't do that because I need my Instagram to be popping now. I can't look poor.
Well, that's true, man. You could, you know, a lot of filters out there, baby. Filters.
Because as I've been trying to invest more and, you know, make my small investments right. in certain companies, people have told me not to invest my own money into doing something and that it would be a better idea to not take that risk with my own money.
Yeah, those people are idiots. So those people are saying, you know, go out and use other people's money. But number one, if you have real investors around you and you're going to have a circle of investors, they're going to say, well, if you don't believe in it, why should I believe in it? Not, you know, so you got to put in some skin in the game, number one. And, you know, other people, OPM doesn't have to always be other people's money. Right? It could be other people's manufacturing, mind power, manpower, marketing, mentors. You can make money off of other people's mistakes. When I came out and I only had a couple of shirts, I went to Ralph McDaniels and I used other people's marketing. He put me on a network of Video Music Box and told everybody that, you know, this is going to blow up. I had 10 shirts in my basement. Mm. You know, before I know it, I started getting calls. You know what I mean? I started dressing all the bodyguards out there because I knew the big guys didn't have clothes because they either had to wear custom or those big white shirts. I dressed them because I knew they would never change their shirts. So these big guys started wearing the shirts all the time. The artists started saying to me, yo, man, why can't I get none? Because I kept dressing the cool bodyguards.
So that FUBU would stand out.
I was using other men. They were standing in front of clubs, and they were standing next to LL Cool J. So it was a big billboard.
People probably thought that was the new Zulu Nation.
I was thinking outside the box. You know what I mean?
Now, you was sitting down with Tyler, the Creator, and you talked about how millennials are grinding harder than the generation before them. Why do you feel that way?
You know, I think some millennials get a bad rap. I think that a lot of millennials are told about these kids who are, you know, they just feel entitled. But if you really look at when I grew up, you know, the phone cut off. The phone was only on from 9 to 5 when I was at the office. This phone, this digital device is stuck to millennials their entire 24 hours. So they're answering it all times of the night. They also don't support companies that don't do stuff for others. You know, they're like, listen, you got to be a Tom Shoes or you got to be a Bombas Socks or somebody who gives every time I buy. And they want to improve the planet. Right. And there's also transparency, too. You can't hide and put out a junk product and or something without knowing what's going on, because they're going to blow the whistle on what's going on in a company. That's
in real time.
Yeah, in real time. So I think there's millennials. Listen, they're overthrowing governments with a cell phone and Twitter instead of guns. Right.
But don't you think that's the problem? Don't you think sometimes social media gives the illusion of hustling?
It absolutely can, but when it comes down to the reality, the bottom line is going to be the person. You'll see what they're doing through the course of time, right? Mm-hmm. You can only lie but so much on social media, right? But what I'm saying is the work ethic of a lot of millennials and how they're conversing around the world with just their fingertips can be amazing. I see two types of people on Shark Tank. Number one is the person that comes up that says, the sharks have all the answers to me and they're going to just bless me and I'm going to be a gajillionaire tomorrow. Well, then FUBU would be Nike if that was the case, if I knew everything, right? Mm. I see the other kids come up there who said, you're just a stepping stone to greater success, and if you want to get on the train with me, that's okay, but the train's leaving regardless. And those are the kind of people I like.
Now, you said grinding more. It seems like it's a lot easier. Like, you think about it, clothing line, when you had the clothing line every day, you just said you would have to go to the clubs, you'd have to go to the record labels, you'd have to grind, you'd have to get your ass out the house and walk. But it seems a little easier now because now all they're doing is sending pictures and saying, hey,
but it's oversaturated. It's way oversaturated. Everybody has a clothing line.
So that's the problem. So I used to go to the club. Now, you know, there's 7 million people in that club. You know what I mean? Because of the ability to sell and stuff. And I got to get through that clutter if I was somebody coming up, right? But the only advantage now is that technology has made it so that we can create things faster. So, you know, I've met kids who are taking orders every Monday. Mm-hmm. Going to the and taking the money in from the customer, replicating the goods on Tuesday and sending it out on Wednesday, and now they don't need inventory. So why the hell you need a loan, right? Go out and get everybody's money right there and say, I'm going to deliver. Yeah, make the goods. And now you got. And I used to make a shirt for 10, sell to the store for 20. They sell it for 40. You can make it 10 and sell directly to the customer for 40.
Right.
Right. So why go out and get a loan? So, technology has improved so many areas, but it's also hurt some areas because you got to find, no matter what, whoever you are, you got to create a following. It doesn't matter. If you don't have a following, your foundation is going to crumble.
And you don't even have to really get the t-shirt made. You can just get the design made. Post the design.
You get it on Stitchless and all that. Design made. Boom. Ship it. You never even touched it. You're in the park on a skateboard.
Well, Damon John has to go, guys.
Okay, we know he's very busy. He's rising and grinding.
He's rising and grinding.
Don't be hitting us up complaining. Why y'all only do 20 minutes with Damon John?
Damon John got to go.
Okay, you
got
to go.
But I got this. One of my tracks, one of my speaking tracks, people scored it so people can get amped in the very morning when they're going to work or on the treadmill. If everybody wants it, they can just hit up the wave because we're all riding this wave. And, I hope you want to ride the wave. So the wave at 44222. If you just text that, it's free. I'm not trying to be no rapper or art. They just basically, scored one of my speaking engagements to hopefully motivate people. So it's text the wave, the 44222.
All right. Well, we appreciate you for joining us.
Love you.
Pick up the book, Rise and Grind Now. Damon John, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
EJ, Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Birdman.
Listen up.
Just in. All the gossip. The rumor report.
With Angela Yee. It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, this documentary, Before Anything, the Cash Money Story, is going to be released on Apple Music. That's going to happen on Friday. Initially, this was supposed to come out in the fall of 2016. Then the date got pushed back to May of 2017. And now it's finally coming out on Friday. Now it is going to be Birdman narrating his childhood and what inspired him to change his life's trajectory by launching Cash Money.
I mean, I would watch that. I think the title is terrible, though. He should title it Respect.
Before Anything.
He wanted to come back up here to the Breakfast Club recently.
So I heard.
They want to come up this week, I think.
We're all not in town, but I think he's still going to come. I'm not going to show up for that interview, though. I'm going to duck it.
He's going to come this week?
No, not this week. He was supposed to come this week.
Why are you going to duck it?
I'm playing. Jesus Christ. but he was supposed to come this week.
Well, here's the trailer for that documentary that comes out on Friday.
As a kid, I saw it all. Everything went down on the block.
And nobody was playing with that kind of money at this type of age.
Everybody and they mom
had some type of product from him.
Growing up in these streets, watching a lot of my partners die, go to penitentiary.
That's what I think turned his life on.
Made me want to do something different in life. So I chose music and started Cash Money Records.
So if they start from the beginning, they're going to start from when, like, Baby was a kid. How old is Baby, first of
all? 48.
We got to stop calling him Baby. I'm just going to call him Birdman from now on.
Well, it's supposed to be also a soundtrack that goes along with this. So I guess we don't know all that information yet, but we'll know on Friday.
I want to see it. Yeah, I'll watch it.
I would love to see that. All right, Travis Scott. According to sources, he is now a changed man after having a baby since Stormy Webster was born. Now, they're saying he's been on cloud nine since this happened, and friends have noticed that he's laughing a lot more. He's a lot calmer than usual, and that he is actually spending all his time on FaceTime with Kylie Jenner and his baby.
How old is the baby?
Traveling.
Maybe 2 weeks old, I think, or a week and a half old.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, but didn't she already have the baby, but she announced it later?
She had a Super Bowl. I thought she had it the same day as Super Bowl.
No, she didn't have it the same day as the Super Bowl.
It was before the Super Bowl because he actually skipped out on the Super Bowl party to go
because
the baby was born. So I think it was Saturday or Sunday.
I thought she announced that the baby was a month old or something like that.
Super Bowl Sunday. That's what everybody was saying. She tried to shut down the internet.
He canceled an event he had Super Bowl because the baby was being
born. He had to fly back.
I'm saying is it's a little too early to be a good father. Okay.
Why? I mean, you can see a change in somebody immediately once a baby is born.
Yeah, it usually kicks in a little late for the father, man.
Well, it's kicked in, according to people close to him, right away. All right, Jhené Aiko. She was on BBC Radio, and she's talking about her and Big Sean. They've been friends for a while before they actually officially started dating. But they can't say when that whole thing happened, because if you remember, Jhené Aiko was supposedly married and then got divorced. And Big Sean was around before that, after that, throughout all of that. And she did talk about in an interview actually going on a date with somebody. It seems like Big Sean, because she talks about going to a basketball game while she was still in a relationship. Check it out.
He wanted to take me out on a date. I had a boyfriend, but I still went. It was like to a basketball game.
You went on the date?
Scandalous. But just as a friend, you know, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go. Like, I mean, I had never been courtside. And I was like, and he's cool. So, yeah, I'm going to go. I told my boyfriend, like, I'm going to this game. Like we weren't really, like, on good terms. So it was kind of just like, I'm going to this game. You know, he was just like, whatever. Like, it was, like, bad. But he was still my boyfriend, so I wasn't going to do anything with Sean.
Yeah, right.
Nah, B. No, you can't go.
But, I mean, she did say they were on bad terms, though.
Still, no, you can't go.
I'm going to go courtside at this game. If you want to see me, turn the TV on.
And it's a little different for her, though, because her and Big Sean in the same line of work.
No, still no.
But
no
he did ask her, like, on a date, and she said, well, I'm in a relationship. So it was with the intention of, hey, I can't date you, but I'll go to the game.
Yeah, I can't go on a date with you, but I'll go to the game with you and dinner afterwards. Okay.
She didn't say nothing about dinner. You just added that in.
Yes.
Now, here's what she had to say about her relationship ending and kind of deception.
We didn't break up because of Sean. We broke up for other reasons because he was married secretly. I didn't know. He was married to his baby's mother, who they hadn't been together, but he wouldn't give her a divorce. Like, and I found this out because she basically told me and blah, blah, blah.
She didn't know about the baby mother beforehand?
She didn't know they were secretly married. So she didn't know that he was married. I guess he never told her that he was still married. Now, she went on Twitter after this interview and she said, maybe because I was homeschooled, I never understood the concept of gossip. Definitely seems like a high school activity. With that being said, I saw a negative spirited tweet about myself with lots of retweets and likes based on one quote from a full interview that was about one moment in my life, which I did nothing but go to a basketball game. This quote has turned into gossip because of speculation. Before you respond, continue to read. Yes, I do have time today. In 2012, I was in a relationship with someone who was secretly still married to his baby's mother. The whole year and a half we were together. This person was not Dot, so it wasn't her.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Husband. The whole year and a half we were together, I found out and we began to separate. He moved out of my apartment. We stopped speaking, and then I went to a basketball game with a friend. Even though we weren't speaking, I called my then boyfriend and let him know I was going because I'm considering.
Does it matter though? Why is she explaining all of that?
I guess because people saw that one clip.
And by the way, if you don't provide any grist for the mill, then people won't have anything to form an opinion on. It's not like they just pulled that out the sky. They're responding to what she said in the interview.
She should have just put up a little basketball and put courtside bitch, you know, or something like that.
My goodness, she.
To show that she is unbothered. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Oh, man, I need Esteban Loaiza to come to the front of the congregation.
I know you didn't say that right.
What did I say?
He didn't.
What is it?
Loaiza?
Loaiza?
Oh, boy.
Whatever. Whatever it is, he's making Donald Trump smile right now. He needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
Okay, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You don't hear the date. Yeah, you dumb ass. You get don't hear the date. Yeah, you get dumb ass.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm gonna fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They waiting for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was gonna be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, February 13th goes to Esteban Loaiza. Oh, you're dropping the clues bombs for me for landing that one. Okay. Now, who is Esteban Loaiza? He's a former MLB player who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Texas Rangers, Toronto Blue Jays, Chicago White Sox, New York Yankees, Washington Nationals, Oakland Athletics, Los Angeles Dodgers. Oh, he's been around. In fact, in 2003, he was a starting pitcher for the American League in the All-Star game. He's actually a two-time All-Star. And that year, he also led the American League in strikeouts. He played 14 seasons. And the most important stat, he made $43.7 million in his career. Now, that's not a lot of money for baseball, okay? Not a money at all. Like, if I had to advise one of my clients in my PPM firm, and PPM stands for Proper Poom Poom Management, if I had to advise one of them when it came to dealing with Esteban, I would tell them to date him, but don't get pregnant. Now, don't get me wrong, to make damn near $44 million in a lifetime is a lot of money. Just doesn't seem like a lot for an MLB player. And I would just simply have to see what this guy is doing with his money before I advise one of my clients in PPM to have a lifetime commitment like a child with this man, okay? And I would have been right, because Esteban was arrested, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason he was arrested lets me know that he wasn't properly managing his money, because if he was doing what he was doing after making $44 million, okay, he wouldn't be in the situation he's in now. Now, what he got arrested for would make Donald Trump proud. Let's go to Sports Illustrated Wire for the report, please.
Former MLB pitcher Esteban Loaiza is facing serious criminal charges in California. Loaiza was arrested last week in San Diego and is being charged with possession and transportation of cocaine for sale over 20 kilograms. The righty spent 14 seasons in the bigs playing for 9 teams, including the Blue Jays, White Sox, and Dodgers, and retired following the 2008 season. The former pitcher was a two-time All-Star and finished runner-up to the Cy Young in 2003 with Chicago. Loaiza's bail was set at $200,000, and he's set to appear in court on Wednesday.
Oh, Esteban Loaiza out here pitching that yay. All right, you just warmed our celebrity in chief Donald Trump's cold heart, because he looks at you, hears your name, Esteban Loaiza, and says, sounds about right. I told you they were bringing drugs, they were bringing crime. He might use you as an example to why that damn wall he wants to build is so important, but forget him. Let's talk about you. Now, I've been dead ass broke before, and that's one of the reasons that one of my AKAs is Frugal Vandross now, okay? I have been 30-something standing in the unemployment line because I had my first child and I needed those unemployment checks. Because of that, I know how to save a dollar or two, and there is no way that I will make $44 million in my life and have to resort to drug dealing. All right? It's just not happening. All right? I don't go chasing Barneys and Saks Fifth Avenue. I stick to the Walmarts and the Targets that I'm used to. Esteban Loaiza, you made 44 million pesos in your lifetime. You make $44 million. Just live like you got 4 million. That's the key. For example, the highest Esteban Loaiza made in a single year was 2007 and 2008, and he made $7.5 million a year both years. Okay? So let's just cut that in half for taxes. So in 2 years, he made $8 million. All right, after taxes. That's not counting endorsements or anything. That's just salary. He probably had bonuses. He made money. But let's just keep it at $8 million after taxes. Do you know how well you can live with $8 million? See, what you don't do when you know you're making $8 million after taxes is go buy a $10 million house, okay? Go buy $1 million house or a $2 million house. Just simply act your wage, or act less than your wage, and you will be fine, okay? If it's one way to end up not being on ESPN's 30 for 30 broke, it's to sell cocaine. But it will land you on ESPN's 30 for 30 jail, okay? Esteban Loaiza made $44 million in his career, but he's out here selling kilos of cocaine. Now, he got caught with 20 kilos of cocaine. That has a street value of $500,000. After making $44 million in your career, you out here taking penitentiary chances for $500,000 in cocaine? I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, but how does that add up? Okay? He got 3 felonies. Possession of cocaine over 20 kilograms, possession of cocaine for sale, and transportation of cocaine, and his bail is $200,000. All this because somebody clearly didn't teach Esteban Loaiza how to properly manage his finances. Please give Esteban Loaiza the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones, please.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day. Ooh, you are the donkey of the day. Yeehaw.
You make $44 million in your life and you got to resort back to selling bricks, man. You deserve every bit of jail time that you may receive.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, we got to talk Jhené Aiko. Now, for people that's just joining us, what happened with Jhené Aiko, Yee?
Well, she did an interview with BBC, and one part went viral, and that was her talking about a date that she went on with Big Sean while she was in a relationship. Check it out.
He wanted to take me out on a date. I had a boyfriend, but I still went. But I, just as a friend, you know, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go. Like, I told my boyfriend, like, I'm going to this game. Like we weren't really, like, on good terms. So it was kind of just like, I'm going to this game. You know, he was just like, whatever. Like, it was, like, bad. But he was still my boyfriend, so I wasn't going to do anything with Sean.
All right.
See, she wasn't going to do anything. But
all right. So 800-585-1051. What's the question? Is Jhené Aiko foul for going on a date with another man?
I mean, would you let your woman, if you're dating, go out with somebody else as a friend? Because nothing happened.
You can go out with him. Just stay with him. Don't come back here.
Nope, you're definitely not going. Either we all go or nobody goes.
I ain't know. We
only
all
had
go.
Two seats.
You,
not easy to...
you go with him and you stay there. All right. I hope that game lasts forever.
Yeah.
All right.
There's no way. 800-585-1051. Fellas, would you let your girl go on a date?
They were on bad terms, though.
Go out with friends? Or ladies, would you go out with another man if you and your boyfriend were on bad terms? Go to a game?
Courtside.
You know the camera's going to be on you? Hell no.
That's why you got to give him the heads up.
No way. 800-585-1051. What would you do? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, is DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we were talking Jhené Aiko in Yee's Rumors. Now, what happened with Jhené Aiko, Yee?
She did an interview with the BBC, and she talked about going out on a date. Well, she said it wasn't really a date, but Big Sean asked her out to sit courtside at a game.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, but she said it wasn't a date because she was in a relationship. But she let her man know.
Yeah.
And so they weren't on good terms, by the way, her and her boyfriend at the time.
Question is, would you allow your girl to go on a date with somebody else? No way in hell would Gia go on a date, sit courtside at a game.
But
no
she said
way.
It wasn't a date. She told him,
that's
I'm in a
date.
Relationship.
No, that's a date.
But you can't even put yourself in that situation because that's your wife. If it's a woman that you're dating, first and foremost, you don't allow her to do anything because unless y'all have made a commitment to each other, like a real commitment, she can do whatever the hell she wants to do.
That's true.
And going to that game is what she wanted to do in that moment.
So Gia how would you
not
react?
Allow me to go. Would you allow your girlfriend, if you had a girlfriend, Charlamagne, to go?
Hypothetically speaking, if I had a girlfriend, yeah, I wouldn't care. And the reason I wouldn't care is because that's all she is a girlfriend. And guess what? The fact that she asked me to go to the game with him lets me know she already wants to go. So carry your ass, because you don't want to be here with me no
ask,
more.
She didn't ask. She told him she was going.
It's even worse.
She gave him a heads up.
Word up. So it's out of my hands by that point. At that point, you should know you're not buying her nothing for Valentine's Day. At that point, you should know it's over. Let that man take care of her on the 14th of February.
Well, in my opinion, I kind of feel like she went because she knew it was over.
Wait a minute. Show me.
What?
Didn't he do this before?
Who?
Yee.
No, I was with
my
friend.
Didn't she go to a game and sit courtside and left?
Yeah, Yee did do that. No, yes, she did. No. She went with her dude and left the dude to go sit courtside with Mike Kaiser and Jay-Z. I remember this vividly now.
Yee kind of did this. Yeah, you kind of.
I wasn't on a date, though.
Yes, you were. You were there with your boyfriend.
That was your boyfriend.
No. You was with your boyfriend.
But that's somebody that is clearly everybody knows is my friend.
F that. Why you didn't bring him down there with you?
It wasn't no space.
See what I'm saying? God
But
damn.
Guess what? I knew it was over.
Boy, don't trust these Asian women, man. That's what I'm learning.
And that's why I said for Jhené Aiko in her situation, before you interrupted me, she knew it was over, and that's why she felt like it was okay to go. So I'm not going to be with this guy anyway, so I'm not going to pass up going to the game and sit courtside.
No. You went to the game with the guy, Yee.
Yes, you did.
And you walked down from wherever you was at and sat courtside with Jay-Z and Michael Kaiser.
Yes, you did.
So what are you talking about?
I went to go sit with Kaiser. So I, I left you guys at the game.
So you
too.
Broke up with the guy at halftime?
Right there, he first quarter, broke up with him.
Listen, all I'm seeing right now is don't trust Asian women in relationships.
I left Charlamagne and Envy at the game as well to go sit with Kaiser. Another situation.
Me and Envy were already sitting courtside.
Yeah, we were sitting courtside already.
Thank you. All right.
Yes,
sorry,
we were.
Sorry, DJ Self. All right. I'm just throwing a little shot at Self because he hasn't gotten to sit courtside yet.
Oh my God.
We've been sitting courtside for years.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
This is the Yoni lady.
Hey, Yoni lady, now, would you leave your boyfriend and go on a date and sit first class? Well, it's not a date. Go
first
with
class.
Another friend and sit courtside?
First class, definitely.
So basically, I don't see anything wrong with it unless
she's
crushing on Big Sean. The only way it would be wrong if she actually had liked him. If she didn't like him, it's publicity. I mean, they're celebrities. They
Stop right there.
Well,
you know good and well she liked him because they're together now. They did a whole album and they all booed up. The other day, she put up a post about, I want to come sit on your face. So stop.
Well, he was wrong. I don't know what he did. Maybe it was some Lawrence and Insecure type stuff going on in her household. So she had to upgrade. So I really don't know what to say now.
Exactly.
You would have did it, right?
Well, I'm the Yoni lady, so definitely I would have did it.
What the hell is the Nomi lady?
The Yoni, Y-O-N-I.
What's that mean?
It's a Sanskrit word for womb. So I'm like the lady that helps women. I'm healing wounds and tightening poom-pooms worldwide.
What that got to do with you and dating women,
and
dating other guys courtside?
Because, like, he is somebody that is perfect for the poom-poom.
I'm confused.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Thank you, Mom.
Have a blessed day, Yoni lady.
Yoni lady. 800-585-1051. If you were Jhené Aiko, would you leave your boyfriend and go out with another man? And fellas, would it be cool if your girl did that? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking Jhené Aiko. What's she do, Yee?
She actually told her, I guess, boyfriend at the time, and they were on bad terms, that she was going to a game with Big Sean, and they were sitting courtside, just so he would know.
All right, and we're asking 800-585-1051. Is that cool? Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? Good morning. This is Sean calling from Norfolk, Virginia.
What's up, bro? What's up from the 757? We're talking Jhené Aiko. Now, is that cool if that was your girl and she went out with another dude?
Yeah, most definitely. If we single and she's not my girl.
No, that's your girl.
It's your girl.
Yo, are you listening, man? Are you listening? Are you on drugs?
He's being funny.
Nah, I'm listening. But nah, Charlamagne, I feel you. At the end of the day, she was dead wrong. At the end of the day, every relationship is based off of trust. So whether they was going through the strains or not, she should have kept it A1, told him that, you know, she wanted to go separate ways and then start pursuing a relationship or whatever she wanted to do with someone else. But regardless if they was good or bad, she should have kept her ass at home or at least tried to make things work out with whoever she was with.
But she said it was pretty bad and they actually hadn't even spoken and she just was being respectful and telling him, but it was pretty much over.
Well, if it was pretty much over, that sounded like it wasn't over.
Word is bond. Ain't
she
no
said,
such thing
she
as
said
pretty
he
much
had
over.
He had moved out and everything.
Nah, it ain't over. She called him, it ain't over. All right, thank you for your call. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Wade, man.
What's up, bro? We're talking Jhené Aiko. What do you think?
Yo, I personally think my girl, she's allowed to go on a date under one condition.
What's the condition?
If he's gay, well, go ahead. You could go ahead, even though you got a lot of men out there that portray to be gay, because I've been played before with my ex-girlfriend.
You've been gay before?
What?
No, I said I've been played.
Oh.
Like, played. My ex-girlfriend, she introduced me to a friend of hers, and the guy, he looked gay. He had a skirt, everything. I thought the guy was straight out gay. Come and find out, one of my homeboys told me that they was making out in the mall and all that. And I had like a little private investigator.
So he tricked you?
Yeah, she tricked me. I had a little private investigator that looked it up and it was real. She lied to me, you know. So I feel like that has made me so jealous and insecure. I'm like DJ Envy. I like DJ Envy right now.
You like DJ Envy?
You like DJ Envy?
I'm married, sir.
Like DJ Envy back in the day.
You thought he was cute?
A man right now. Like,
oh, my goodness.
Hang up, man. Hang up before I tell Donald Trump to deport you.
I really don't know. What's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is if she is stupid enough to walk away, be smart enough to let her go. Because that's all this boils down to. You know what I mean? I'm cool with her going to the game with somebody or coming to me saying I'm going out on a date with somebody because at that point, we're not together no more. So just take her to the game. Feed her. Hopefully you got a place for her to stay because she's not coming back here. And that's why you got to keep the receipt on your Valentine's Day gifts, fellas, because you just never know.
Well, my moral of the story is have fun courtside.
You did. We got rumors on the way, Yee?
Well, yeah. I mean, since we're talking about relationships and making sure you hold it down, find out how Beyonce checks people when they try to flirt with Jay-Z.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Club.
So listen up. Dan, what about Beyonce and Jay-Z being your favorite people, too?
I'm a Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter. You know this.
All right. Well, Tiffany Haddish told the story for TV One's Uncensored about meeting Beyonce and seeing Beyonce react when a woman tried to speak to Jay-Z a little too closely. Here's what she said.
I was talking to Jay-Z for a little bit, and there was another actress that was there who was also talking to Jay-Z. And she touched Jay-Z's chest, and Beyonce came walking up like, bitch. But she didn't say that. But her demeanor, her body, from the way she walked up on her was like, hand off my man's chest, right?
They're not going to invite Tiffany back to no more functions.
They probably thought it was amusing. And she also said she then started talking to the other actress, and some other stuff happened, but I'm not going to say nothing yet. So she didn't say who the actress is.
I know who it is.
But she said that she just went and had a good time after that. And she said she told Beyonce, I'm going to end up fighting this bitch. And she was like, no, have fun. And she told Beyonce, I'm only going to have fun if you take a selfie with me. And that's when that selfie happened.
Drop one of Clues bombs for her securing a selfie with Beyonce. Beyonce couldn't say no to that, right? Because then a fight would start.
Yeah, she didn't want anybody to start fighting. That's awkward.
When's that TV One show come on?
Uncensored?
I think, I want to say this Sunday, but don't quote me on that.
All right. Now let's discuss Black Panther. Expectations are being exceeded. Now they are saying that it's currently tracking to bring in $165 million during opening weekend.
That's low.
It's tracking right now.
I'm saying over $200 for the first weekend.
Now that would mean that Black Panther is among the top five or six openings for a superhero movie ever. Now among those top five, The Avengers was at $207 million.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers Age of Ultron, $191.3 million. Captain America Civil War, $179.1 million. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 3, $174 million. Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, $166 million. And then The Dark Knight Rises, $160.9 million. Now, the movies also sold more advanced IMAX tickets than any other Marvel movie, according to IMAX Entertainment CEO.
Well, Iron Man is the highest grossing Marvel movie ever. Iron Man 3 and Black Panther is going to blow past that. And I saw the movie last night at the Marvel premiere, and I'm going to see it again tonight because I got my own premiere. And I'm just not going to put no expectations on the movie. I'm just going to tell y'all that it's good. It's actually great. It's more than... You should go see it. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Would you say, because you've been very excited for it, it's the best movie you've ever seen?
I mean, that's a reach. I just saw the movie last night. best movie I ever seen. I mean, it's a really great movie, and I can't wait to go see it again, and I'm going to see it again tonight. And if you're a Marvel film fan, I would just say that to me, it's like Iron Man Part 1 times 100. Let me stop. I don't want to put no expectations on it. I'm just going to tell you it's a great movie.
All right.
We'll talk about it after everybody sees it this weekend.
I'm going to make sure I check it out, too. And I don't go see any of these movies, but...
Just keep in mind, I saw it last night, and I'm excited to go back to see it again tonight at my premiere.
All right, now, let's talk about Adrian Broner for a second. I saw on Famulous yesterday that he was getting arrested in the mall. And apparently they're saying that he was arrested, according to TMZ, for allegedly sexually assaulting someone.
Mm.
Now, they're saying he was taken into custody late yesterday evening and formally booked for misdemeanor sexual battery. He's being held on no bond. He has to face a judge this morning in a few minutes. So they said he is reportedly being held for grabbing a woman by her genitals at the Louis Vuitton store.
Oh, he wildin'.
But cops have yet to confirm that. So I don't know what happened.
You think Adrian Broner would be that ridiculous in the Me Too Time's Up movement?
I would sincerely hope not. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I guess we'll know shortly because he's due in court. Right about now. All right, French Montana. He is trying to cash in on his name, and right now he is trademarking his name for health and beauty products. He wants to put his name on fragrances, on non-medicated lotions and shampoos, and non-medicated toiletries.
Mm-hmm. You don't even got to trademark that, French. Ain't nobody buying no medicine called the French Montana.
What about Unforgettable?
Mm.
I feel like there's already...
I feel like that, too. That is a nice name for a fragrance.
That is already something.
That is a great name for a fragrance. Unforgettable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about Pop That?
No. No.
All right. Well, Montana, that should be coming to a, I guess, store near you soon. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right. DJ Envy's coming up with the People's Choice Mix. You know the mix that he's been doing every day at 9 a.m.?
That you choose because you...
Nope, that's a lie. For 7 years,
he
gives y'all the phone number but never takes y'all requests. That mix is coming up at 9 a.m.
Now, you can tweet at DJ Envy.
For no reason.
And see if he'll play your song.
He might play it, but it's the luck of the draw.
And there you have it. Hopefully, it's one of these power songs. And then you might hear it.
All right, Revolt TV. Peace. It's The Breakfast Club.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.